There was a time when majority shareholders ruled the roost. They looked after their own interests and in many cases put themselves ahead of the needs of minority shareholders. But all that's changing rapidly. Joining us on America's Best Lawyers to discuss minority shareholder oppression disputes is Roggy Dunn, a partner in the Dallas law firm of Klaus Dunn Hirsch, LLP. Roggy has represented such clients as Bank of Texas, Outback Steakhouse, Cigna, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Daimler Chrysler. Roggy, thanks for joining us here on Sky Radio.
Delighted to be with you, Dennis.
Now, most of the causes of action have been on the basis of oppressive conduct. Is that right?
That's correct. Minority shareholders may have causes of action against majority shareholders for what courts call oppressive conduct. And oppressive conduct has been broadly defined by many courts.
Well, how difficult is it to prove oppressive conduct?
Often it's fairly easy because oppressive conduct does not require showing of fraud, illegality, mismanagement, or even a wasting of assets. One court described it as an expansive term to cover a multitude of situations, and therefore a narrow definition would be inappropriate.
So what language, what words describe shareholder oppression?
Courts have looked to things such as wrongful conduct, violation of fair play, or a lack of fair dealing causing prejudice to some shareholders.
You recently successfully defended majority shareholders in a minority shareholder lawsuit. What helped you successfully resolve that suit?
Well, the majority shareholder had justifiable reasons for its actions, and we were able to show that its actions were typical of similarly situated, well-run companies, and it had good documentation to support its actions. And most important, the client had several examples where it could show that as a majority shareholder, it put the interest of minority shareholders first. As a trial lawyer, I'm always looking for evidence where my client was more than fair to the other side.
Well, while we're talking about examples here, I understand you represented a Fortune 1000 company in a partnership dispute. That's a good illustration of what we're talking about here.
Yes, the corporation had entered into numerous partnerships with individual partners, which was coupled with an employment contract. And one of the partners who had almost completed his five-year employment contract was fired only 62 days before he was to receive vested stock options and other benefits, which he claimed were worth about $6 million in damages. At the conclusion of a four-and-a-half-week trial, the jury held that the firing was justified and awarded the fired partner no damages. The case was challenging, however, because the individual partner had four children and had been with the organization for 9 years. I think this case does a good job of illustrating how general partners and majority shareholders can unnecessarily expose themselves to liability for minority shareholder oppression or breach of their fiduciary obligations to other partners. While we won the case, the client had to go through an expensive lawsuit and had substantial exposure because the way it fired the partner was viewed as, quote-unquote, unfair.
Roggy, are there lessons to be learned by majority shareholders and general partners?
Definitely. They need to be sure that when they take actions that they're viewed as fair and reasonable. Treat fellow partners and shareholders in a way that the jury will look at as fair. Don't put your interest ahead of their interest. Be sure to give full disclosure. Never deny a minority shareholder or partner a reasonable opportunity to inspect the books and records. And don't vary from past customs or practices or procedures unless you have a good reason.
Roggy, thanks for joining us on Sky Radio.
My pleasure.
Roggy Dunn is a partner at Klaus Dunn Hirsch, LLP. We reached him by phone in their Dallas, Texas offices.